What's up? It's Delaney, and I'd love to invite you to become an honorary co-host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Do you want to pick episode topics and guests? Done. Want to surprise your loved ones with shout-outs on the show for a birthday, project launch, a much-needed divorce? Whatever you're up to, would love to be a part of the celebration. Get your favorite and least favorite quotes featured on the podcast, submit questions for our special guests, and find lots more new features and surprises at patreon.com/selfhelpless. You'll also get added to our Patreon Insider email list to easily redeem rewards via a quick email reply. Because we know hanging out on Patreon isn't everyone's thing. You can also opt out of emails if you prefer to be a silent supporter of the show. And don't worry, we do not Scrooge McDuck these contributions. 100% of proceeds go directly to operating expenses that make this weekly podcast possible and available to all. Learn more at patreon.com/selfhelpless or simply click the link in this episode's description. Thank you for helping me fill the void of being the last standing host of the Self-Helpless podcast. Thank you so much.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So, what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
My mind's playing tricks on me. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but nothing seems to give me sweet relief. Why won't it let me be? Look inside and try to find, but every time it seems I lose my mind. My mind. Oh,
It's Self-Helpless with Kelsey Cook, Delaney Fisher, and Taylor Tomlinson.
Hi, guys.
Hello.
Hi again. Thank you all.
So excited to see all of you.
Yeah. You guys are the tits. Thank you for coming out. Phoenix is awesome.
Yeah. This has been great.
If you guys are listening to the audio and you're not here in the room, we're doing a live Self-Helpless episode from the All Things Comedy Festival. I'm Kelsey Cook.
I'm Delaney Fisher.
And unfortunately, we don't have our third musketeer here. Taylor Tomlinson is in Vegas for some shows, so she has missed. But we do have a very special guest this episode, so you want to
give it up for TK Kelly, everybody.
What's up, guys?
He's a writer on Tosh.0. He's got a great podcast called Movie Night, and he's just an all-around good dude. Hashtag
I do a killer
good man.
Taylor Tomlinson impression.
Yeah.
We'll get into that later.
Oh, we'll feel right at home. So if you guys have any kind of advice, questions, or comments, or favorite quotes, least favorite quotes that you want us to talk about on the show today, go ahead and follow at Self-Helpless Podcast on Instagram. Send a message, and we will answer it towards the end of the episode.
Nice.
Kelsey's going to answer them, or read them, because I don't know how that shit works. So you guys... Just go
she
ahead and send them out.
She's 1,000 years old.
Yeah.
Amazed she has a phone.
Absolutely.
So should we start the way we usually do with some quotables?
Fuck yeah, we should.
Yes.
Let's do it.
We got some good ones today.
Yeah. First off, TK, do you have a favorite or least favorite quote?
A favorite quote? I was thinking I read George Carlin's memoir Last Words recently, and one of the best quotes in that whole book is, "People are wonderful one at a time." Because I feel like I always get very frustrated with the way that the world is. It's very easy to be like, fuck everyone, people are the worst. But it's like, yeah, when it's one of them, they're always pretty cool, you know?
Yeah, for the most part.
You get them in a group, they start talking and shit, it goes off the rails.
Yeah.
I feel like I always am such a skeptic with quotes, because like immediately I'm like, well, Hitler was a real bummer. And he was just a person.
Yeah, but I mean, have a conversation with him. The guy was eloquent. One-on-one, it's like, he's not so bad.
Great painter.
Oh, yeah. God. Yeah.
I have a quote that I also feel like is maybe a little bit going to like divide people. This is from Bruce Lee. My fiance Kane has a new podcast called the Well Actually Podcast, which I highly recommend you check out. And they did one all about Bruce Lee, and Bruce Lee is full of quotes. One of them is, mistakes are always forgivable if one has the courage to admit them. What do you think about that?
Mistakes are
I love
are
hearing
always...
the live reaction. People are
Bruce
yes.
Brunt. Philosopher. Okay.
Yeah.
Can you read it again? I gotta let it soak in a little bit. Let's.
Mistakes are always forgivable if one has the courage to admit them. What do you think? See, I'm like, fuck
I don't
that.
Know if I'm buying it.
I feel a little fucked out about it.
Like, you can forgive somebody and still never want to see them again, though, I guess, right? Like, sure, if they really fuck up, it's like, yeah, that's fine. Like, I'm not going to carry on this shit, but I don't want to be your friend anymore.
Yeah.
Right?
I don't forgive very easily.
Yeah. You're a grudge. You're a grudge holder.
Yeah, I hold lots of grudges.
Taylor holds lots of grudges.
Yeah. Taylor and I are real fun people to have friendships and relationships with.
Yeah. What do you think about that, CK? You a grudge guy?
No, I kind of get that.
Do you?
Yeah. I don't know. At some point, like, what good does holding a grudge do you? Like,
that's true.
It's more. I feel like you're hurting yourself, and that's coming from somebody who like definitely has done it. Like,
yeah.
And eventually realized like, oh, this person is a better person than they were when they did whatever they did.
Right.
And like, what's the use in being annoyed by it all the time? I accept that like you're. Sometimes your relationship's never going to be the same regardless.
Yeah.
But to be like, well, whatever. They don't have to be dead to me anymore.
True. It's that whole, like, forgiveness is for you thing, not for the other person.
It, you know?
Yeah.
What is that quote? It's like drinking poison. What? You guys know what I'm talking about? It's like drinking poison, right? Is anybody know what I'm talking about?
That's the whole quote. Just drinking poison.
It's like you drinking poison. Like like holding a grudge or like not forgiving is like you drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. That's kind of what I'm going for.
Is
that what you're trying to say, probably?
Yes. Okay, great. Exactly.
Wow.
I think I got
you
it.
You really pulled
fucking
through.
Fucking nailing
end
it so far, guys. Live podcast. Here we go. Oh, man. We didn't even mention what our show is about for anybody who has no idea who the fuck we are.
Yeah. I feel like for the most part, the people in here know what self-help is. If you don't.
This is on Facebook Live right now. So there's people watching like, okay, these bitches haven't said anything about. So self-helpless podcasts, we're type A comedians who dive into a different topic of self-help or self-improvement every episode.
Yeah.
With experts on the show and all kind of talk about our personal shit.
Yeah. We decide if we think it works or if it's bullshit. And sometimes one of us thinks it's good and the other people hate it. So you never know. Have a different bag every time.
I had no idea what was going on. It's like no one explained this show to me.
Sorry. All right, then do you have a quote?
Oh yeah, I sure do. I pulled this from our Helpster Facebook group. Amy posted this one. It says, "Getting over a painful experience is much like crossing monkey bars. You have to let go at some point in order to move forward." That was from C.S. Lewis, by the way. That's the credit. I gave the credit to Amy, but it's both of them. It was a team effort. So
that was
a good one.
That's how C.S. Lewis feels.
That really hit me hard. That's some good shit.
That is very good. Do you want to get into some other segments now?
Treat yourselves. You have some?
Was this? Who said that this was like a treat yourself coming here today, right?
Yay.
Yeah, look at you go. That's awesome. I love
Starbucks drink. I love it.
Yeah.
TK, anything that you do for like self-care that just makes you feel good after like having a really shitty day or anything like that?
I really got back recently. I got back into drawing.
Awesome.
I love drawing. Like,
yes.
I love drawing like comic book characters and cartoons as a kid. And then, once I got into writing and comedy, I just kind of forgot about it and just never considered going back to it. And then I realized, how much I love animation and I'm like, why am I not drawing my own like characters for ideas I have? And it's the most fun thing to do. It doesn't feel like writing sometimes now feels more like work.
Totally.
And that just feels like I can just sit down at like, you know, Photoshop for 8 hours and just fuck around with little cartoon characters and I have such a great time.
That's awesome.
It's like the easiest way to unwind. I love it.
Do you make up your own characters or are you like trying to do replicas of like Batman and stuff like that?
No. For like, mostly lately I've been doing my own stuff of just like casts of characters for show ideas that I've
had. Oh, cool.
I love it. Yeah. That's awesome. That's a good one. That's like mine too. I like to paint and draw and just like, you know, really, it's a good escape.
You turned it into a business.
I sure did.
Dix by Delaney,
if anybody wants to check it out. Everybody watching this on Facebook Live is like, what the fuck is happening?
This? Yeah.
My treat yourself recently. Well, one of my best friends in the whole world lives in Phoenix. She's right there.
Yay, Molly.
Molly.
She hates this.
She hates it so much. She's like, don't point me out. Don't talk to me up there. So, of course, I have to.
Eye contact,
yeah. Yeah. So, It's just been nice being here for a day, and she just moved here recently, so I got a little catch-up time with her. So that's my treat myself.
My treat yourself is that I finally bought a squatty potty. What's up?
Thank you. Give it up, guys. It's an innovation.
It is. We had Dr. Anish Sheth on, who is the poo doctor, a few episodes ago, and I invested. I went on to Amazon, but okay, so I can ask you guys, because we have an actual crowd here. Do any of you have a squatty potty, number one?
I just bought a stool at the hardware store.
She just bought a stool. Fuck that.
She's exposed a DIY squatty potty industry. It's a fucking stool.
I love it.
Yeah.
You were saying that you're still confused how it works?
Well, no, or? I know. I understand how it works, but it's really uncomfortable. Like, it's pretty high up. You don't realize until you're sitting on there. It, like, really hurts my ass because it's, like, forcing your butt really hard onto the seat. Yeah. And I got some fucking cushion, you know, like does anybody do it comfortably? Cause I feel like maybe I'm doing it wrong.
Comfortably for you.
Shit. I don't know.
Maybe you could just put a box over your toilet and squat and just call it a day, right? Just like, why fix it if it ain't
my
broke?
Comfort zone. I'm shitting in boxes, as you guys all know. So I don't know. It's like a treat yourself, but also I don't feel like I'm able to take advantage of it fully because it's uncomfortable right now.
Yeah.
You just got to find your sweet spot. You'll get there.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. That's my treat yourself.
That is a good one. So, TK, anything, we call this segment self-careless. Anything that you do to self-sabotage or anything like kind of bad habit that you have?
I've been trying to be better about it recently, but I started to realize I was constantly looking ahead and not worrying about what was going on right now.
Especially
career-wise, like, just worrying too much about, like, what's next, how do I get there, and kind of forgetting to pay attention to what's going on right now and just, enjoy everything.
So how do you, like, keep yourself present?
I start to notice it, like, what's the use in speculating on anything? Like, the idea that I have any real control is absurd.
Right.
So, like, why worry about these scenarios that almost definitely are not going to play out the way I think they are? Just, like, get out of your own head. Mostly, I just smoke weed.
Yeah,
to be like, chill the fuck out.
Very helpful. Absolutely.
So glad we had you on, TK.
Let's get real fucking high, man.
Yeah.
Everything's great.
All fucked up.
Yeah. You're the one that had the self-careless that you wanted.
Oh, okay. So you guys, I did the whole healthy eating thing for a few weeks. I was doing pretty good. And then one piece of chocolate cake, it just all went to shit. And so I have been really going to town. Burgers, hot dogs, pizza. I mean, even last night, we had first and second dinner. And second dinner was pizza and pretzels and quesadillas. How did I get here? It's one of those moments like, how? I was doing so good. So that's my self-careless, of course, binge eating and binge drinking.
What a shock.
What a shocker. So,
I felt like I saw you at like rock bottom last night because we were together before I had a stand-up show and we all had a drink together. And then I was like, okay, I'll see you in a few hours. And during those few hours, something happened that I was not around for, but when I came back, Delaney was about as drunk as I've ever seen her, and there was literally every form of bread and cheese in front of her that you can eat in America. And she was like, these pretzel sticks are so good. I don't even know. I just want to go up to him and be like, hey, where'd you find these?
That's how it works in the kitchen, is they just like find them on the street and then sell them.
She was out of her mind. It was pretty fucking
funny. It was tequila and wine, and what else did we have? We had all the things.
I might have helped Delaney get to rock.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
I smoked some weed with TK, so maybe we can blame him. I got real. Yeah. Whoa. I don't know what the fuck that thing was, but it was great. Okay.
Well, time traveling there for a little bit.
I did a little time traveling. Did we talk about TK's self-careless moments?
Yes.
Yes, we did.
Yes.
Okay. Next one.
Being in the present.
Yeah. Next one. Good shit.
Good shit. We haven't done a good shit in a while.
We haven't done a good shit. Anything that has happened recently that's been great for you, or that just something that you love that you found recently, anything of that nature?
I wasn't quite sure where to go with this one, but I'm going to get real for a second.
Do it.
My brother was like not doing well. He's been dealing with addiction for like 8 years. I had my first like real conversation with him in that time. And it just finally seems like he's a real person. Like, he's doing great. He sent me a birthday present, and I was like, holy shit. Like, if you asked me, the last thing I would have ever gotten was like an unselfish act from him over the last. So it was just like talking to him for like a half hour. I kind of realized how crazy it was, how long it had been since I spoke to my own brother, and it was like, or like spoke to him in any deep sense.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, this dude's funny. Like, I remember why I liked him. My brother. So it was great. That was really a good thing for me.
That's awesome.
A
really good. Is he like getting clean now?
Yeah. I mean, he's, you know, it's always dodgy. You always worry about a relapse, but he's the best I've heard him in a decade. So
that's great. Yeah.
That is awesome.
Congratulations to him.
Yeah.
My good shit. Some of you may have seen this video on my Instagram. I flew up to Washington State to my university I went to and surprised my best friend on her 30th birthday. Any of you see that? Some of you? Okay.
I cried so hard. I'm like, I don't even know this girl, but this is amazing.
Yeah, it was awesome. I've never gotten to surprise a friend like that before, and it was this whole elaborate thing to like fly up and then drive an hour and a half over and creep up on her like that, and we caught it on camera, and she just like cried the whole day. I did not anticipate how many tears I was going to see from it, but it was one of those moments that made me, it's like, you know, you're talking about trying to be in the present, and like, that's the shit that we should be trying to do more of. And like, you know, I think we all spend a lot of money on quick fixes, mm-hmm. and I was hesitant to spend the money on that plane ticket to go up there, but Jesus.
Yeah.
I mean, just for those 30 seconds alone, so worth it.
Yeah.
And that's the type of memory that I'll remember the rest of my life, and she'll remember for the rest of her life. Like, it felt so good to give that to her.
Yeah.
And I mean, like, selfishly for me to get it too, but
yeah.
She was like, this is the best birthday of my life. I'll never forget this as long as I live. And I'm like, God damn, we got to do that stuff more, you know? Like, we got to buy those concert tickets and go do that thing that's an experience rather than just like, you know, buying a squatty potty. But, you know.
Yeah.
Where were you, where did you sneak up on her?
So, I went to Washington State University up in Pullman, and there were, it was for the big football game. There's like a bunch of tailgating going on. And so my other friend who went up with me, she walked out. My friend knew that she was going to be there, and then we had like the camera going, and I walked up behind her, and I just looped my arm in hers.
Yeah,
just like super creepy to do.
Sweet.
I just looped my arm, and then I stared at her, and it's so funny on the video because it takes her a solid 3 seconds to understand that she's not like having
that's
a stroke or something.
Yes, that's got to be unsettling when you're not like, expected. Like, that's very out of context.
Yeah, I was supposed to be 2 states away and like not at all coming there, not even that's talking cool. about it. And I think I like broke her brain, you know, to do a little office quote. That's but yeah, good. she just stared at me, and then she started screaming. It was so fun.
Oh,
I did
it.
That same thing on my best friend's 30th birthday.
Did you?
Yeah, yeah. I took the red eye from LA back to New York.
No way. And
I climbed in his bed at 6 a.m.
Oh my God.
And I have never seen someone more confused. Like, he had no fucking idea what was happening. But it was real. I was so happy I did that. And I only stayed for a day, and then I flew back.
Yeah,
and it was miserable. Like, the travel sucked, but.
So you're worth
right.
it.
I wish I did more of that stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow. Ugh. Doing it, like waking somebody up like that.
Yeah.
That's like the dude version.
It was a risk. He could have just beat the shit out of me.
Like, stab you.
Dude in my bed.
Yeah, that's a whole other level of like disoriented.
Kelsey's like, I linked her arm. He's like, I climbed in bed with him.
I was naked.
I mounted him. Yeah.
That's amazing. I know it's good to do that stuff because those things are so easy to just kind of like fluff off and be like, oh, I'll see them next time or the next time they're in town. So like, I love when you just like make that effort. My good shit recently, one of my best friends found out she was pregnant with me because we went to brunch.
With your baby?
Knock that bitch right up. She's like, oh God, you guys, the live stuff, it gets me crazy. We went to brunch and she was like, hey, I'm late on my period. They're trying, by the way. This is not like, uh-oh. She came back to my apartment, took the pregnancy test at my apartment, and I walked. Oh, I posted a video of that too.
Yeah.
So people may have seen that. And I was like, that was such a fun moment to be a part of. And, you know, because I've stopped doing stand
stand-up for the last, like, 6-7 months now. That's not something I would have been around for. I would have been out of town that weekend. I would have been, you know, tired from a show or whatever it was. This was, like, 11 a.m. on a Sunday that I got to share that with somebody really important to me. And awesome. I just, yeah, it was a great moment. So just, yeah, stuff like that, kind of making the effort in your personal life versus career all the time.
Totally.
It's very nice, yes.
Yeah. You had a defuck with us traveling here and going through TSA.
Dude, I don't...
You can imagine what Delaney is like to travel with. Like, just picture how she is with technology times, like, a billion. It's so bad. It's so bad.
It's bad. I, like, dropped my ID.
Her fucking driver's license. We're like, she wouldn't have been able to come here. She just drops it on the ground and keeps walking. And I was like, yo, fucking your ID. She's like, oh, sorry. And
it's cool. They know me.
And then I have TSA pre-check because I'm a seasoned traveler.
Right? Yeah,
and I have my shit together. Delaney is in the regular line. She packed, I don't know what food you packed. There was like Tupperware containers. I look over.
I need snacks on the plane.
Said he travels like a grandma.
I look over and the TSA is like ripped apart her bag. They're like opening Tupperware. She looks at me. She's like, we are going to miss the plane because you brought casserole like a 90-year-old. God damn it, Delaney. I'm like, never again. Never again.
I'm just one of those people that if I don't have to like be in charge, I'm just like on vacation. You know, like now I travel with Cam a lot and Cam's like the one to, you know, get the IDs and do all the things. So yeah. I just kind of like, la, 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 la. Like, I'm just here. But if I'm by myself, I'm a lot more with it. But like once I'm like, oh, Kelsey's got this. I let you take the wheel and then shit went real wrong.
Yeah, no one appointed me.
And then last night in the hotel room, I kept forgetting to shut the door in the hotel room. And Molly's like, you gotta shut the fucking door.
It's the one thing you've got to do.
I just kind of like let it swing back. It wasn't closing properly. Anyway.
Oh, you are still alive.
So my defuck is... whatever it is about my face, the TSA hates me. Every time I'm at the airport, I don't know what it is. They always want to pat me down, look through my shit, mostly because I bring a lot of food.
Yeah, it's not your it's your behavior.
But also, like, they give me...
I don't know what it is,
she
but...
brought 7-layer dip.
Yeah.
Pat her down.
Oh, my God.
But even before they check my food, they just don't like me for some reason. Like, they're always mean to me about the fucking... the buckets of stuff that you gotta put your things in. They're always like, why are you using so many buckets, ma'am? I'm like, because I've got a lot of
buckets.
Yeah, nobody calls them buckets. So,
anyway, I don't know what it is, the TSA. They don't like me.
Yeah, I don't know what it is either, Delaney.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll find out one day.
Oh, man. You want to do some goals, too?
Oh, well, does TK have any defuck moments? So, like, yeah. Anybody, any, like, pet peeves? Anybody do something shitty to you recently or
the
anything?
The U.S.
Like
Postal Service.
Oh, boy. God. Someone's got a bone to pick. Here we go.
How have we not outlawed the mail, guys? What the fuck are we doing?
It's time.
Arcane. People are just sending bombs to each other. You just put a person's name on something, and someone paid by the government will bring it to their home.
Yeah.
God.
That is insane.
Yeah, that is crazy.
It's
that is
so true. Fucking crazy to me. And, like, people are getting bombs. I'm just getting 5 pounds of garbage every day.
Yeah.
That I refuse to open the mail. My wife is like, this is insane. You'll just let it pile up. I'm like, yeah, I just won't. I got audited, like, 7 years ago because I just didn't open my mail.
Oh,
the IRS was sending me, like, notice after notice, and I was like, whoop. Like,
why?
I know, it's reckless. I was 19. But...
Oh, my God. I think that's a dude thing, too.
It's just the most inefficient. I mean, we talk about like climate change, yet we still deliver pounds and pounds of paper to every single residence in the country that's driven there by trucks and planes. Like, the amount of energy, it is staggering. If you can't reach me through my phone or email, you don't fucking get to talk to me. Like, that's crazy.
I like that.
Fuck the mail, guys.
Fuck the mail.
Were you afraid of what was inside the mail? Like, why were you just like,
no,
oh,
not
the
at
IRS.
All.
This can't be important.
It was just so inconvenient to me that every day all this stuff would show up in a box outside my home and I would have to open it all and none of it mattered ever. It was all shit. And I was just like, why am I doing this?
Yeah, it's like 5% of whatever you get is actually something you need.
It's so rare that it's anything that matters. Also, the U.S. Postal Service lost my dead grandfather's record collection. My parents sent me 125 vinyl records that were my grandfather's, and they lost all of them except 25.
Oh, my God.
And 25... I'd say 20 of them sucked.
Oh,
I got the shittiest records.
Oh, so you think
I got a bunch of ABBA?
Yeah.
Oh God. They just stole all the good ones. You think?
Yeah, for sure. Like somebody just took them.
Dude.
But they were so unbelievably unhelpful. I know this is like, you know, cutting edge comedy that the post office is like no good, but they just like, yeah, they're gone. Sorry. Like there was nothing they could do.
We get to unsubscribe from emails we don't want.
Right.
And then I think it was on the Minimalist podcast, how you had that. It was like, what was it? 21 days of minimalism.
Mm-hmm. The 21 day challenge.
They put a link on there that you can go to a certain website that will like make it so that you don't receive mail you don't want.
Oh,
like the weird newspapers and
about this.
So that could be kind of
oh, that's good. My life.
Another thing I've done before is like whatever kind of pamphlet or flyer I'm receiving, I just call the company and say, take me off your mailing list.
Whoa.
I don't want this shit. Be
but
real
like,
direct
you
about
shouldn't
it.
Have to do that.
I know, I shouldn't have to take time, but yeah, the website thing, that sounds great.
Yeah, that's a lot of effort.
It really is. But sometimes like
I'm not calling anyone.
Yeah, no.
I'll just be mad about the mail forever.
Yeah, I would rather throw it away every day until I die than make talk to somebody else. Nothing.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Thanks. Yeah. So we want to do some goals. We haven't done goals in a while.
Hashtag goals, yeah.
Hashtag goals.
Anything that you're working on, TK, long-term, short-term? Anything that you've accomplished lately that you're super stoked about?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of touched on it earlier, but when I started drawing again, it started kind of morphing into animation, and I did like a short animated sample that I made myself, which
cool.
was like super difficult, and I'm sure I did it the most inefficient way, but it's 2 minutes of animation.
Sweet.
And it kind of has just made me want to like, I've just realized that that's what I've always loved. I love The Simpsons, I love South Park, King of the Hill, so I think my goals are just eventually to kind of get into that world. Like I love the current TV job I have, boss, if you're listening, but that's what I want to get into, so that's kind of what I'm shooting for.
That's awesome.
I love it.
My hashtag goals is that the first episode of my foosball web series came out. Rissa Fury.
Yeah.
She's wearing a Rissa Fury shirt. Fuck yes. It's
awesome.
So exciting. That came out on Monday on the All Things Comedy YouTube channel, and I'm so excited about it, and so I feel like it's a goal accomplished that the first episode's out, and it's like an ongoing goal now that I just want it to keep growing. I'm excited about like the future guests, and we've got some really cool plans for it, and I just like, I love playing foosball so much. I'm such a fucking nerd about it, but I just love it, and so it's a really fun show.
Yeah.
I saw it. It's great. It.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, so I'm excited about that.
Yeah. Let's see, my goal, okay, well, first of all, just for the week, I need to stop eating second dinner, okay? I get into the bad, once I get in the habit, it's hard to stop, so that is my...
Is that really a thing with you?
Yeah, yes! Second dinner, third dinner sometimes?
Are we not
going to
have second dinner again?
I know, second dinner is like it's a pretty frequent, it's almost daily. Sometimes
it's like a full other meal.
Yeah. Does anybody else do second dinner here? Okay.
No one say anything.
I've lost
Don't
them.
Encourage this.
I've lost them.
No.
So anyway, I'm going to focus on that this week. I guess my other goal is just keep Dick Spy Delaney on the up and up. Everything's going smoothly so far, and I've been loving that. And that's been a nice goal
that I've feel like I've accomplished recently.
For sure.
Went live. It's going well. I got to leave my other job because of it, and
such a big goal.
I could not be more grateful. Yay. Yeah, and so many helpsters have been purchasing dick mugs and salt and pecker shakers and cot glasses, and I love you guys so much. Yeah, so that's been great.
That's so cool. So we wanted to dive into the meat, as we do. And so, TK, you have a book that you read that, like, affected you quite a bit, and I'm super curious to hear more about this.
Yeah.
Okay, are we talking about the...
The psychedelic thing.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I read this book recently called How to Change Your Mind by Michael Pollan, and it's explained as... It's kind of sciencey, but it's called... he says it's what the new science of psychedelics teaches us about consciousness, dying, addiction, depression, and transcendence.
Wow.
So I read a book about mushrooms, guys.
Yeah.
But it's loftier than that. It's all about the author. He takes all these different psychedelics and he talks about his experiences with it. And he talks about a lot of the medical benefits of it that I really didn't know about. Basically, I had taken mushrooms one time a long time ago. They didn't do anything. I kind of felt a little high, but I was like, I was always interested in the idea of them. So, like a nerd, I read a book first.
Yeah.
Love it.
It was on tape. It's fine.
Real type A druggy.
But it was just a really interesting take on what you could get from it, how you could use it to kind of break the loop that you, I think all of us inevitably, as life goes on, you start to operate on a loop. You function a certain way and you go through life. Your brain is on autopilot quite a bit and it's making decisions for you based on everything in your past. And I feel like this kind of opened up to me that you could get off that loop a little bit, like show your brain something new real quick, and it can kind of change the way you look at things in general. And I felt that way. I read the book, took some mushrooms, and then for like a week after, I was like, I felt like I was thinking slightly differently than I had been.
How so?
Yeah.
It was just realizing things for what they are, accepting how little so many of the things that we let bother us actually matter. Like when I think about even day-to-day stuff with comedy, like you build something up, like this particular show is going to matter the most anything.
Yeah.
And then so often it doesn't, or it doesn't live up to your expectations or whatever. And then you dwell on it and it's like, no, fuck that. Be okay with it. Move on.
Yeah.
Keep going. It just helped me, I think, open up a little bit and realize that there's like, this is going to sound real mushroomy, guys, but there's this massive universe out there, and like what I'm doing day to day is not that big of a deal, and just kind of take it easy. Don't be so hard on yourself, kind of.
Right. Yeah. To take some pressure off a little bit.
We talk about, we've said it on the podcast a few times about like scrolling out because we get so zoomed into just our little universe in our world. And if you scroll out, you're always like, oh God, there's so many other things going on. And this is like not that big a deal at all.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Wow. Huh. I've never done mushrooms. Anybody make some noise if you've done mushrooms?
Whew. Nice.
A few of you. Okay. Camera guys,
raise your hands.
What's up?
It's like this class. Camera guys, like, on them right now.
That's awesome.
Do you have any?
Yeah.
I have never tried them, but I'm very curious.
Are you open
to
doing them?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
It would just have to be the right situation, right people. I would have to actually know where, you know, they came from and stuff. I'm not going
to
take a street mushroom or something.
I got a guy. But street mushroom. I just pick up what I find in the streets.
But
in the
parks.
And I eat it. I don't even know if there's mushrooms.
You have a street mushroom. I can't believe you didn't really feel anything.
The first time I took it, I think I either didn't take enough or they were old or something. A friend of mine was like, hey, I got mushrooms today. You want some? And I was like, yeah, I don't think it was enough. I felt like I was high.
Yeah,
for sure.
Okay.
But it wasn't like, it wasn't what I was expecting.
All
it wasn't this like lofty, life-changing experience.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
What's the difference between, like, have you microdosed any like LSD or anything like that?
No, I don't fuck with chemical drugs too much.
Okay.
Just because and that's a thing that's probably more in my head than anything, but just there's like enough addiction history in my family where I'm like, I'm just going to eat plants and smoke weed and like, I'm not going to mess with anything some guy had to make.
Yeah.
But I think I say that, but like eventually I'll probably try it.
Yeah.
Right, right. Well, we had... I'm sorry,
go ahead. No,
I was just saying, when we had Adrienne on, who was the marijuana expert, she talked about that she really liked microdosing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think it was LSD? Or maybe
it was acid. I think acid and stuff like that.
I love the idea of that. It's very interesting to just slightly open you up enough each day to like... supposedly people who are doing it are operating like at a more of an efficient... level.
Yeah.
Interesting. And
yeah, it's super interesting. But also, like, you know, it might just really mess you up.
Yeah.
So going back to that book, what's the most surprising thing that you found out about psychedelics in there?
It was the treatment use in depression, in addiction especially. Like, there have been, I think because of the huge acid boom in like the 60s, where it kind of went off the rails and everybody started making it and taking it, and the whole like Timothy Leary thing, I feel like the government just decided this is bad. This stuff is really, really bad. Psychedelics in general are really bad, and we have to keep people away from them. You'd hear all those urban myths about, like, so-and-so took mushrooms and jumped out a window. And
right.
No, they fucking didn't. Yeah. But I was so shocked to find out there's all sorts of medical benefits that have been pushed down because of the stigma of psychedelics, and now the medical community is starting to open up to it again. And there's been recent studies where they're treating addiction with it, and it's got like an 80% better success rate than traditional treatment.
Wow.
And similar with depression, where people are being medicated for it and it's not working, psychedelics have been breaking people out of the depression cycle.
Really? Are they putting it in like pill form to take daily?
Yeah.
Or okay.
Yeah. And they're also doing like kind of guided thing, sort of like an ayahuasca type thing, but it's a doctor sitting there with you, guiding you through a trip and kind of helping you work through past traumas and stuff. It's really interesting. The book itself, like, to me, I think it's worth looking into, even if you're not into taking mushrooms or taking acid or anything,
right.
Because it just kind of makes you realize how putting a stigma on something can just hold it down so much. And it's like, man, we might have been sitting on something that can really, really help people.
Yeah, right. In a natural way. Have you done ayahuasca? Because that's kind of, I think, like the ultimate natural.
Yeah, that's thing. Intimidating. I mean, the descriptions of that, I'm like, man, I don't know if I want to be like throwing up and shitting my pants an hour to then have a spiritual journey. I'm like, can I have a spiritual journey where I don't shit my pants?
You're going to drink a bottle of tequila for that.
Yeah, it's something I'm interested in, and maybe like down the road, Ali Wong talks about it, like she really promotes it and suggests that people do it, and her experience of it sounds super interesting, but it comes with some stuff.
Oh my God. Have you taken mushrooms since you've read this book or not?
Yeah.
Okay, you have.
Yeah.
Do you do it often or not?
No, not often. It was that was the second time I took them was after this. I will probably do them more often now. I enjoyed it. It was good. The first time I did it, I just decided I wanted to be in my home. That way it was like not an uncomfortable environment where I'm worried people are looking at me or anything.
Right.
And I kind of just, and my wife didn't, she was like, she's a little worried that she's going to be too high strung on it. So she was just like, I'll just make sure you don't kill yourself. It's like, okay, cool. So like for 8 hours, I was just super fucked up, like wandering from room to room in my apartment, sitting out on the patio for a few hours and then just being like, all right, it's time to move to the bedroom. And then I just lay in the dark for like 4 hours in the bedroom. I laid on my couch, like face down for probably 2 hours, decided the couch was made of dinosaur bones, guys. It was a whole thing, but it also like I had some interesting moments where like I looked at, we have like a fireplace in the living room, and I looked at the mantle and I just decided that my dead grandfather was in there, and like I wasn't upset about it. It was just like, oh, he's there. It was this weird, like, he's everywhere, you know,
right?
He's part of the world is this massive, massive thing, and all of us are just a little part of it. And it was, I don't know, it was cool. Take mushrooms, guys.
Does that book kind of take you through the history of psychedelics and everything,
Really,
too?
Really deep into the history, which is super interesting, too. Like, just mushrooms in general, not psychedelic mushrooms, are fascinating. And I didn't know it.
Don't they grow on, like, cow poop and stuff?
The psychedelic ones?
Yeah.
They can, yeah.
Huh.
I don't want to eat that.
Assuming somebody's washing them at some point. They also taste horrible.
Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I feel like everybody who's had them is like, yeah, it's like eating shit, like eating actual shit, but then you have kind of a fun
I have
hours.
No basis
like,
for comparison.
Isn't it most like manure, though? Like, just, we're all eating shit, right?
Yeah.
From our veggies and everything, right?
Well,
it's all grown in shit.
There's like a,
people are shitting in the fields while they're getting tomatoes and stuff. I'm assuming.
Shit.
Where else are they going to go?
Shit's everywhere, guys.
You know, the porta potties out there in the fields? The fields, like it's just one location somewhere.
But yeah, it did go. It went like deep into the history of it, and it's really interesting.
Huh.
They talked about how mushrooms operate in a forest, and they have like the largest living creature on Earth is a mushroom in Oregon.
What?
Yeah, it's 2.5 miles wide.
What?
Because they all connect under the floor of the forest, which I had no idea. And I was like, this is like nature's internet. This shit's amazing.
Whoa.
Like,
oh my God.
It was just, they're impressive. I think they're doing more than we're aware of, guys.
They're fucking take over.
The mushrooms are planting something.
Yeah. That
and they also weird. Went into like the history of taking psychedelic mushrooms and how far back it goes and how animal, like certain animals do it and like actively are deciding to do it.
To
like,
eat mushrooms yes. and trip out?
Yes.
What kind of animals?
Like when they would test it on rats, they would go back more often than to something similar to like cocaine.
Yeah.
But they would go back, I guess it's more of a positive association with it. I don't know. But also deer, dogs have been like documented that they will seek them out and eat them and just get fucked up.
Oh my God. What, do we have any like video of that? Of like animals just like high as shit?
I'm sure we do. Yeah, that's a good question. Google that. Somebody pull it up.
There's got to be a YouTube rabbit hole.
Just a dog tripping balls.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's an interesting thing that like people and animals have been taking for centuries. And then it just got this weird stigma from us in the 60s and we kind of stopped
shunned it.
The growth of it. Yeah.
Wow. I always wonder like how, what that process was determining what's a poisonous mushroom and what's just going to give you like a great high. And what you just like put on pizza.
They
you
know, talk
like,
about
mushrooms are real fucking
game. They all kind of look the same. Yeah, they talk about hunting for them on your own, and the author did that with like a very an expert, obviously.
Yeah.
But he'd show him one that like, hey, this one will kill you. This one's gonna get you super high, and he's like, those look the same.
Jesus.
Like, what the fuck? So don't go find your own mushrooms, guys. Get them from a reputable dealer.
Goddamn gamble.
Yeah. So what's the book called again? If anybody wants to,
How to Change Your Mind.
How to Change Your Mind. Fantastic. Anything else
too.
From that book before we get into some questions
advice,
and stuff?
Questions?
Great. Let's do this.
All right.
I have one right here, actually.
Oh, perfect.
Hold up. Okay, so this one says, I'm an MMA fighter and I get stage fright. What are some tips to overcoming that?
What?
Yeah.
Well, if you're an MMA fighter, that's fucking
just
badass.
Just beat the shit out of the other person, right? if you're not afraid of getting punched in the face, I'm surprised. But I guess there's a big performance aspect to that.
Yeah.
Do you have any tips? You still get stage fright this far into it? Or are you kind of like,
if
another
like,
day, another, you know, another show, whatever?
If it's an important show, if it's for like a really big crowd or it's like a high pressure situation, I'll still get butterflies and adrenaline. I almost do the reverse where I kind of put myself, I don't want to say I put myself down, but I'll just tell myself like, you have nothing to lose, just whatever. Like I try to take all the pressure away and just pretend like it's not going to affect me, even if it might. But I feel like it makes me more calm and just like more normal.
Right.
Because I think stand up, if you've got a lot of nerves going on, the crowd can smell that right away. And they're like, this is weird.
Yeah. It makes the audience uncomfortable when they can tell you're nervous.
Yeah.
It's like they don't really, maybe not trust where it's going and stuff like that.
Yeah. I play that game of like, what's the worst that can happen from this? Like, if you have a bad set, then like, do I die? No. Like, will I still continue to work?
Yeah.
Like, maybe I won't get booked at this particular club again if I really like eat a dick on stage.
Yeah.
If I really bomb hard. But it's that helps me to kind of go to like the worst place and realize whatever happens, it's not gonna be that bad.
That's exactly what I do. I go through all the scenarios, like very specific, what's the worst that can happen? And I kind of picture them happening and then I picture myself dealing with it in the moment. And that always helps.
Yeah.
That's always, just a shit show of different things that pop in my head.
Yeah.
And then if I'm feeling a little weird or nervous, I'll just do a lot of like weird breathing exercises and like moving my body and stuff. Like I'm the person who kind of like jumps around before.
On the baby trampoline like Tony Robbins.
Yeah. Pull out my baby trampoline.
Yes.
Do you still get stage fright, TK?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think it's probably, if the worst that could happen to me was that somebody was going to come on stage and beat the shit out of me.
I know.
I might be thinking a little differently, but I think it applies for anything. I think if you're nervous, like that's kind of who you are. Like that's a tough thing to get rid of. I think. I think it's in you or it isn't, and just like live with it. Just accept that like, this is how I feel before a set or a fight. Like just accept that like, I'm still going to go out there. I'm still going to do my thing. Right. And I'm good at this. I'm doing this because I believe that I'm good at this. Just go do it.
Right. Yeah. Isn't it in, is it Steve Martin's book that he talked about how he still throws up before every single
show? Oh my
show,
God.
And
yeah.
It has never gotten better and it's never gone away. So I think you just got to work with it. I mean, you really just like, okay, I know that I'm going to take this 10-minute time slot before my, you know, before I got to perform to go throw up and then I'll get my shit together, you know?
But I do have to, like, I feel like I need to poop every time.
Oh yeah.
Do you guys, do you know Nick Cobb?
No.
He's a comic. He shits before every set. Nick, I just outed you.
Shout out to Nick.
What's up,
no,
Nick?
I don't do that. I would quit comedy if I had to shit before every set.
Really?
In like shitty comedy club bathrooms? Yes, I would quit comedy.
No PGD? No pregame?
No, I'm all right.
Damn. Yeah.
It's the worst when you like you have to shit before a show and then you perform and then it goes away.
And then it goes away. You're like, God damn it. That's the worst.
Freaking poop disappeared inside me. That's no fun.
It's the worst part about comedy, guys.
Yeah.
Disappearing poops.
Yeah. Ghost poops. So we got an advice question sent in to the Self-Helpless Instagram. It says, how did you decide to live with your significant other? Ooh, that's a good question. I have been with my boyfriend for 2 years. We both like our space, but I'm open to living together eventually. But I do like living alone as I have for 6 years. If I bring it up, he seems to brush it off, saying I wouldn't want to live with him because he is messy or likes alone time. Ultimately, I want to buy a place, so I'm trying to figure out if that may be together or solo. He already owns a home, but has shared that he may want a new place.
That's I think you have to kind of ask yourself, where do you kind of see this going? Is this somebody you're eventually going to live with? For me, deciding to live with Cam, I'll be honest, it was a little bit out of convenience because I just didn't like having to be in LA traffic visiting this guy all the time.
Right.
And I was still performing all the time and I was never really home. So I'm thinking, okay, I know it's only, you know, about 6 months into the relationship, but I'm either going to see this guy every couple weeks, or if we just take the leap and move in, I'm going to see him all the time in passing and we're going to get to know if we can tolerate each other's habits and stuff like that.
Yeah.
I kind of just decided to really like, let's figure it out.
In.
Whether we do it now or in 6 months, it's kind of like, well, we're going to figure it out and it could frickin' explode or it could be great. And luckily it was great. But I think it's like, you know, where do you see this going? Is this somebody that you're going to cohabitate with eventually? What do you think?
Well, Kane and I moved in together after 2 months, like impulsive comedians with no boundaries. But it has worked because we've been together for a long time now. But I think for us, we realized that we were together every day.
Yeah.
We wanted to see each other every day. So it was just like we were going every other night. He would spend the night at my place and then I would spend the night at his place. And it's just getting so inconvenient. It's like you're carrying around like a bag with you all the time of your stuff. And you just felt like a little bit halfway homeless, but we still had two places. And
right.
So it just made sense at that point for us to take the leap. I wish we had waited. This person said that it's been 2 years.
Yeah.
Which I think is like a totally reasonable amount of time.
Yeah.
Us moving in together after 2 months was, I don't want to say it was a mistake, but we definitely squandered that like beginning kind of magic of when, you know, it, like you only get that kind of exciting magical part right in the beginning.
Yeah.
Where he comes and picks you up for a date and you got to like get ready. And then he says you're there or he's there and you go open the door. Whereas if you live together, it's like he wakes up and watches you like fucking poop and then get ready. And you're just like, okay, let's go to Olive Garden.
Yeah. Right.
It's just like, it's just not the same.
Not as sexy.
So I wish we hadn't moved in as soon as we did, but 2 years I think is totally reasonable.
Yeah,
so.
I think it's time to make the leap. If it were me, I would be like, it's been 2 years, let's do this. And if, you know, if there's some brushing off happening, I would want to kind of dig into that. It's like, what's going on here?
Yeah.
And it sounds like he owns a home and stuff like that. It seems like the natural next step.
Yeah. And if you can, I mean, I don't know what like your financial situation is, but if you can afford to have a place that has like an office or two bedrooms that you can have some space to yourself, God, that's so nice.
Oh yeah.
Like there were times where Kane and I would, you know, be in like a tiny one bedroom apartment and get into a fight and one of us would just like go sit on the toilet and then like the other person would like
go
on a walk. Yeah. Cause you just don't have anywhere to go that you're not like physically seeing that person.
Right.
So
TK, when did you move in with your girlfriend at the time. Wife now. Wife now.
We moved to LA, so it would have been weird if we got separate places.
You just can't even afford it in LA. Like, yeah. You have to split like
we,
rent.
We decided to move from New York. We were together a little less than a year, and I kind of was just like, I got to get the fuck out of here and do what I actually want to do with my life. So I was like, I'm going to leave. I want you to come with me, but I get it if that's crazy and whatever. Yeah. And she came with me, and it worked out really well for us. But I think if we had stayed there, we probably would have done it sooner than later anyway. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think 2 years is like, are we going to do this or are we not?
Right,
like,
right.
Are we going to move in together? If you're still skeptical at 2 years, like, I don't know if we should live together, then, like, I don't know. How old are you? What are you doing?
Right.
Like, 2 years is a long time. You're investing a lot of time in this thing. So, yeah, I'd kind of lay it down. Throw down the gauntlet. Are we moving in together or what?
Yeah.
Wrestle.
Yeah.
How long were you with her before you guys moved to L.A. together?
We were together, I guess, a year and a half before we actually left.
Okay.
But a little less than a year when we decided we were leaving.
Okay.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's a good amount of time.
Okay, we've got another advice question. It says, I love sharing your journey in quitting your day job. How do you know when to take risks? Mm-hmm. What process do you worm through to make personal, professional, and creative decisions?
That's a good one.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I'm sorry. What process do you work through? There's a little asterisk next to it that said, I meant to say work. Oh. But I said worm through. I mean, I think worm through works,
worm
too.
Worm through is great. I'm like, I'm picturing, like, crawling through the
dirt. Here's how I worm through life.
Yeah. I like worm through.
That's exactly what it feels like, worming through a lot of shit.
Yeah.
That's a great question.
You recently quit your day job.
Yeah.
So what was your tipping point when you knew it was time to, like, leap?
I knew it was time because I couldn't continue doing all of it. I was getting so busy with, you know, the other things, the podcast, and Dicks by Delaney is going really well. It was one of those things where I was waking up early before my day job to get orders done and stuff like that, and then coming home from work and then working until midnight, 1 a.m. So I realized, like, I'm going to burn out again. Yeah. And I can't keep doing that. So as soon as I felt that, like, I gotta go, and, you know, I'm financially supported by these two businesses now, which is fantastic. So I knew that I could survive without my day job income. And so the next day I went and talked to my boss and just told her exactly what was going on. I was, like, brutally honest with her. I'm leaving this very corporate job to go paint dicks. So how do you guys feel about that? So it was kind of like, I couldn't go any further with how it was going. I think that's when I really knew it was time to make the leap. I think until you kind of have that point, you know, it's a little scary to kind of just leap and then figure it out. I kind of slowly built up to that. For 6 months, I was building the website and getting my marketing and packaging and all that together. So it was a process.
Yeah. I think I had the same experience. I think it's better to do that. Like, it alleviates some of that anxiety. If you get to a place where you just know, I can't keep doing both.
Yeah.
And I had done both for, like, years before I was able to start doing stand-up full-time, and I was so exhausted, but I knew that financially I wasn't in a position yet to be able to leave the day job. So even though I was really tired, I just kept telling myself, like, it's gonna pay off, something will happen. And sure enough, that's when I started opening for Jim Norton, and that changed my life. And it was like, well, he's offering me all of these weekends of road work where I can't physically be at this day job anymore, and it's gonna pay enough for me to quit. So for me, it was like, okay, this is it. Like, I did it. I'm able to leave now.
Yeah.
But I don't think with my anxiety that I could have done it before then, because I would have just been like, oh shit, what if I have, like, a bad 2 months where I'm not getting booked and then I'm on the streets? You know, you always figure, like, you're gonna be homeless or something.
Right.
But yeah, so I waited until I was, like, pretty sure.
Yeah, and there was a question about, like, the process. I would say if you're thinking of starting something, or just start small and just take it day by day. You know, start with, like, making your business card or just getting the website domain. I know it seems like a lot at once if you're about to launch a new business or something, but just so, if even 10 minutes a day, you will get there.
Yeah.
You're not going to figure out in one weekend. I would say that.
Yeah.
Your day job is a creative day job. So
yeah, but it wasn't,
like,
always.
It wasn't always. Okay.
Quit your day job. Everyone, they're the worst. They're the bane of your existence.
How did you get there? You're like living the dream.
Well, I was in New York. I was out of college and I was working as a financial recruiter. Terrible at it. Oh, I just wasn't good. I got the job because I could interview well, and it's kind of a salesy type thing. I'm basically calling people, trying to get them to leave their jobs for this other new job that I have. And I hated it. I looked at like the people that I worked with, and I'm like, if I'm still here when I'm this guy's age, I'm gonna fucking kill myself and everyone in here. Like, it was just not. It wasn't for me. And I realized there's no way I'm gonna be happy in this kind of job. There's no way I'll put. I didn't put in any effort. I used to just go to work and put movies on my computer and just watch them. Like I hated it so deeply that it was just like, this is not me. So do what feels like you.
Yeah.
It was crazy to me. I was like, I think I'm going to go to grad school in LA for screenwriting, and I'm just going to move across the country. And it seemed insane, but I was like, it's not any more insane than doing something you hate every day.
Can I have like fucking high five you for that?
That was a so nice true. Quote.
So like, yeah, I just did it. I don't know. Do it. Just do it. Give it a shot. Yeah. At least if you try, you'll be happier knowing you're pursuing something you give a shit about than you'll ever be pursuing something you don't care about that might be like, I don't know, might pay.
What's the great Jim Carrey quote, right? It's like if you can fail at something that you hate or something, you might as well try to fail at something that you love or something and go for what you love.
His dad never pursued his passion, and then like the business he had run went under or something like that, and he told Jim Carrey, if like you can fail at something you hate doing, you might as well go for what you actually love, because you can fail doing anything.
I'm mostly motivated by the fear of looking back and being like, oh my God, what a waste. Like, what did I do with my life?
Right.
As far as I know, we get one shot, you know? So like, just, I don't know, just have a good time.
Yeah. I'm just curious if the people here, raise your hand if you feel like you're doing what you really love.
For your day job? See, not as many people. There's like a 85 statistic that's like 85% of people do not like what they're doing for work.
Yeah, and there's a line too. Like, of course, not everybody is going to do what they love, but you should care about it. You should love part of it. It should be fulfilling, you know? And if it's not, get out.
Yeah. There's a great podcast that has really helped me with this transition. It's called Don't Keep Your Day Job with Kathy Heller. I don't know if anybody's listened to it. Highly recommend it if you're an entrepreneur or you're just trying to figure out how to leap into something else. She has great guests on there that she interviews, you know, people who have started businesses or changed career paths and just kind of how to find your passion in the beginning. Like if you know that you're doing something that you hate, but you have no idea how to find what you love, it's got a lot of great tips on there. It's a great, great podcast.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to do one more advice question, then we'll wrap up. So I'm friends with two best friends who are guys. One, B, is my ex from high school who lives a couple hours away. I have no interest in a relationship with him, but every time he visits my town, we have a little fling. We're both clear on this. It's fun to be together in small amounts, but neither of us want anything serious. The other guy, A, tragically lost his fiance about 6 months ago, so he's in a weird place relationship-wise, but seems to be flirting with me and has spent a lot of time with me. I do like him, but wouldn't want a serious relationship with him either. But I'm not sure how to bring this up until he does something that's definitively flirting. Mm. What do I do? It's complicated because he wants a girl to non-seriously date, but is still healing. I'm involved with his best friend, my ex, and I feel like I can't say anything.
Ooh,
this is a pickle.
That is a complicated triangle, that one.
Sticky pickle.
Holy balls.
I'm going to leave.
Nothing. If that were me, I think I would wait. This is just personal. I think I would wait for the opportunity to present itself, like this message said, like it hasn't been a very clear-cut situation, or I would probably just say I was seeing somebody and make it clear that I was, like, not interested for, you know, in looking around, you know, hooking up with them or something.
Because I feel like from this, the two best friends don't know.
Oh, they don't know that there's, like,
I don't think there's any, like, hanging out as the three of them. So it's a fucking pickle, man. I don't know. That's tough.
Well, you're fucked. I don't know.
Yeah, just, I mean, ghost them both and call it a day.
I agree with Delaney, though. I think, wait until there's a definitive problem to tackle before you worry too much about it.
Right. I don't know. Yeah. The one that this person keeps hooking up with, I'm curious as to if there's anything kind of more going on. Oh, there we go. If there's anything kind of more going on there if they keep going back to each other.
Yeah.
That's tough because that's still, to me, like we've all kind of probably been in that pattern before where you're kind of going back to the ex. To me, I didn't really move on until that relationship was completely over for several years. So I feel like if that person's always still kind of an option, I don't know if you're kind of maybe keeping yourself stuck without even really
It's like the monkey bar quote from earlier. It's like if you're still holding on to that back bar, you're not going to be able to reach over to the next one.
Right.
Next dick.
You know, right. Woman. Yeah.
Grab them all.
Snatch that up.
Yeah.
I don't know. This is obviously something that we would have to like go. We'd have to know more information, but shit, that's just a tough one.
I think we're just not qualified to tell you.
When the opportunity presents itself, be honest. I feel like that's really all you can do.
I don't think you're really, I mean, it is tough that they're two best friends if they don't know what's going on. But if it's not serious with either, then you're not really doing anything wrong. If there's not like a committed thing with either, it's just kind of like, you know, like a little bit messy, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you're actively hiding it from one of them, though, that kind of depends. Like, I don't know. I would make it clear that you've got this thing going on with the other guy just so it doesn't get to that point. Cause you don't want this other, A, who is dealing with a lot to like get really into you and then find out, oh, this whole time she's still been hooking up with my friend.
Right.
But that's kind of harsh. But
why is it all on this person? Why aren't these best friends communicating a little
bit
better?
They don't sound like
best friends
to me. Being
like, yo, guess what? Your ex-girl, I've been hanging out with her.
Maybe
so maybe it's not all on her.
Yeah, no,
and they could be communicating about it. So I would say until any of that shit happens, just keep doing what you're doing.
Do your thing.
Until you
maybe
just
figure
just have
out.
A threesome and go your separate ways.
Have a cocktail party.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe meet somebody who is outside of this friendship group.
Right.
You know what I mean? That just clear away from all that. That might be helpful.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, that's it for this episode.
Thank you guys so much for coming out. We love you so much.
Seriously. Thank you. Yay. We love you guys so much. Thank you for coming.
And thank you, TK, for being our lovely guest.
Of course. Thanks for having me. That's great.
Yay.
Thank you.
I guess that's it. Subscribe to Self Helpless on iTunes if you haven't yet. Give us a 5-star rating and review. And, TK, where can people follow you?
Oh, duh.
Oh, at TK Kelly Comedy on Twitter, Instagram, all that stuff.
Perfect.
And check out the Movie Night podcast.
Yeah, so fun.
On All Things Comedy.
Delaney just did an episode on it yesterday.
Yeah, it was great. We did it. Covered it.
Yeah, we just talk about movies. It's fun.
A lot of people.
All right, you guys. We will talk to you next week. Bye.
Bye.